Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. We need to hear you, Lord, more than ever before. We need you. We need to hear, Lord, your voice. When there is so much fear and so much noise of panic, we need to hear you, Lord. And so speak to us, O God. Speak to us this morning. May our hearts be open. May our minds be receptive. And may we receive what you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Okay, good. Great. Are we all right? Yeah? Now, we're indeed living in some unprecedented and challenging times. And the world is panicking and running helter-skelter here and there to try and find a solution or remedy for this current plague. By the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this chaos and panic, how should we be responding and living out our lives as the follower of Jesus Christ? You know, I believe that as the follower of Jesus Christ, I don't know what you think about it, but I believe that there are two crucial elements that are part of our response to all the situations that we face as the follower of Jesus Christ. And the first one, I believe, is faith. I believe that as the children of the living God, the only response to fear in all the situation and circumstances in our life is faith. And it's just faith on not just this faith is not on just something or anything. This faith is the faith that our God is sovereign. The faith that there is nothing that he cannot deal with and that he cannot resolve. The faith that my God will sustain me through this valley. The faith that my God shall supply all my needs according to his goodness and mercy in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Bible tells us that without faith we cannot please God. So the first response, the crucial part of our response is faith, is to trust him. So let us keep trusting God, church. Let us keep our eyes on him. And the second crucial element of our response at all times as the follower of Jesus Christ is praying. We've been commanded, we've been instructed to pray without ceasing. Pray at all time because this is the will of God. You know, we've been asked to stay away, you know, by our authorities. We've been asked to stay away from one another. And yes, we must physically do so. But that must never stop us from coming together in unity to pray and intercede for one another and for the world around us. So we may not be with one another in person, but we can be with one another in spirit as we pray together. So as I say earlier mentioned, join us this week, maybe through Skype, maybe through WhatsApp, whatever technology available. Let's join together. Let's pray. Let's get on our knees and intercede. Because I believe this is the time like never before when the church needs to once again get on its knees and cry out to the Lord to show mercy. And pray the prayer that Habakkuk prayed in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. He said, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. So let us keep our eyes on God, church. Let us press on in praying and looking out for one another. And let us see God's face. And yes, expect to hear from Him. And one of the ways to do that is to go to His Word daily and hear His voice that gives us strength and helps us to face all that the world is fearful about, even COVID-19. You know, last Sunday we looked at Psalm 103 where David showed us how we must speak to our souls to worship. Adore, to worship Him, to adore and praise our Lord. And this is the time to really put that into practice in our own personal life. Speak to your soul daily. Can I encourage you to speak to you these days and these times? Speak to your soul daily, because the pressures of fear, doubt, uncertainty are mounting. We also saw what authentic worship looks like. And I believe that it is in such days and times that we are living in that we would really know if the worship that we offer to our Lord is authentic or not. Hallelujah. We also saw that David in this Psalm, in 103 Psalm, spells out his personal reasons for worshiping God. The benefit that David has received from God, which causes him to speak to his soul, to adore, to praise, and to honor, and to bow down before this God. So in these trying times, let us remind ourselves daily and speak to our soul in faith daily of all the benefits that you and I have received from God. Remember the benefits David spells out in verses 3 to 5 of Psalm 103. You can turn there if you have your Bibles. The God we worship, David says, He forgives all our iniquities. He's a God who forgives all our sins. And secondly, Paul, David says that he heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the God we worship, church. That's the God we got to praise and adore. And I'm not going to expound on them again. I would encourage you to go back to the last week's message on our website and just listen to it. I really encourage you to do that. But this morning I want us to look further in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and especially this week as I was preparing, the Lord just took me back to the same psalm as I was reading in prayer. And I wanted to go back to that Psalm 103, verse 6 to 18. Let me read it to you. Psalm 103, verses 6 to 18. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. I love this. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. So moving on, David goes on in this part of the psalm to tell his soul to praise, to adore, to honor and worship God, not only for the benefit that he has received personally from God, but for all that God is always, hear me, for all that God is always doing for the humanity that he created in his own image and likeness. In spite of their rebellion against him throughout the ages. There are three benefits that David spells out in this psalm that our God is bestowing on the whole of humanity. And this is what David is trying to convey. There are three benefits for the rest of the humanity. He says, God is fair to all humanity. Amen. God, secondly, has revealed himself to all of humanity. And thirdly, God is gracious to all humanity. And David shows us how God is gracious to all humanity in two ways. He says, how God is, he talks about these two things. How is God gracious to all humanity? And why is God gracious to all humanity? So let's now briefly look at these three benefits that the whole of humanity receives from God, for which he must be praised, worshipped, and honored and adored. So the benefit number one, for which the whole of humanity must praise, adore, and honor God, is that God is fair to all humanity. In Psalm 103:6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And all means what? All. Not just those who follow him, not just those who do not believe in him, but even to those who hate him and want to do everything to prove that he does not exist. God is fair. Hallelujah. So hear me, the God that we worship is worthy of our praise, adoration, honor, because he is good to everyone. As the psalmist in Psalm 145 verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. Hear me. He has compassion on all he has made. And here again we see that he is good to all. And he is compassionate to all he has created. And Jesus confirms that in Matthew 5:45. He says, your Father in heaven causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Church, hear me. Our God is fair. He acts fairly at all times. God is fair to all of humanity. Our God is a good God, and he is fair to all humanity. This is the good news that all of humanity needs to hear and believe as we all face what seems like an unseen and unknown enemy of all of humanity right now that has already claimed thousands and thousands of lives all around the world. Let's remind ourselves that before we raise our hands and fingers to God, remember our God is fair. He is fair. I don't understand what's going on around. Oh, I don't want to interpret what's going on. I know I hear a lot of things people say about what's happening right now and try to interpret it. But I know one thing, that my God is fair. My God is good in all circumstances. And not just for those who believe, but to all of humanity. He is fair. Now, benefit number two, moving on, for which the whole of humanity must praise and adore and honor and worship God, is that God has revealed himself to all of humanity. Amen. In Psalm 103, it says that in 7, and it's in relation to the people of Israel, it says, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Now God initially, and scripture tells us that initially revealed himself to individuals, as we read in the Old Testament, at different times and at different places, that God revealed himself to a people group called Israelites, you know, through fire and through cloud. He revealed himself to the people of Israel in so many ways. But now God has revealed himself and made himself known to all of humanity. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And John chapter 1, 14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And again in 1 John 1, 1-2, hold on to these scriptures, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. The God we are preaching, the God we are talking about, the God we are crying out, he has revealed himself to the whole of humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. So the benefit David conveys for the whole of humanity is that God is fair in all his dealings. And secondly, God has revealed himself. The God we worship is a good God because he has revealed himself to all of humanity through his Son Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ who was clearly portrayed, as in Galatians we read, as crucified for all the humanity. This Jesus Christ who died and was buried and rose from the grave on the third day. This Jesus Christ who is the hope of glory. This Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh, is the only hope for humanity. The only hope and the only remedy for the humanity and for the world right now. Therefore, church, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget the Lord our God's benefit that he has revealed himself to all humanity in Jesus Christ, his Son. Now finally, benefit number 3, for which the whole of humanity must praise, adore, and honor God, is that God is gracious to all humanity. Our God is fair to all humanity. He has revealed himself to all of humanity, and God is gracious to all humanity. And that is the reason we must praise, we must adore and honor God. He is good God. In Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And as I mentioned earlier in Psalm 145:9, it says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Now there are two more things that I want to share under that. How is God gracious to all? God is gracious to all humanity because he has shown his grace, his mercy, and his love to everyone. And how has God shown His grace, His mercy, His love to everyone? Psalmist in verse 9 and 10 shows us that God has been gracious to all of humanity in four ways. He said, He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. So hear me, church. The first, He is not always accusing us. That's how He's showing His grace. God knows all our sins and rebellion. Therefore, He does not need to keep accusing us. We stand accused before Him anyway. It is the accuser, the enemy of our soul, who accuses us. But what God does is that He brings us to a place of conviction that leads us to repentance. And that is because He is gracious to us. Amen. And that is what He is doing to all of humanity. And of course, as a children of God, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so secondly, this is how he shows grace. Firstly, He is not always accusing us. Secondly, He is not always angry with us. I like what Prophet Micah in chapter 7, 18, he says, Who is God? Who is a God like you? You do not stay angry forever, but delights to show mercy. Hallelujah. You know, we can be angry with somebody and be angry till we die, angry forever. But the God we worship, He says that you do not stay angry forever, but delight in showing mercy. Is it not comforting and liberating to know that the God, our God, is slow to anger and abounding in grace? There is everything in humanity to cause God to be angry and for Him to pour out His wrath upon. But the God we worship, He does not delight in being angry with humanity. Rather, He delights to show mercy. The God we worship is not abounding in anger, but He is abounding in grace. He's not always accusing us. He's not always angry with us. Thirdly, He's not treating us as our sins deserve. You know, we don't deserve to be treated well by God because of our sin and rebellion. Yet God is treating us with dignity. Did you hear me? We don't deserve fair treatment, but this God we worship, He treats us with dignity in spite of our failures, in spite of our rebellion. Out of His amazing grace and mercy, He's not treating us as our sins deserve. You know, Lamentation 3:22, it says, Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. I know things are going wrong, but there's so much happening, there's so much fear, but we know one thing, that our God is gracious. He is gracious. How do we know that He is good? Because He's not always accusing us. He's not always angry with us. He's not treating us as our sins deserve. And finally, He's not repaying us according to our sins. If God had repaid us according to our sins, then none of us would be alive to see the light of this day. Are you with me? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 said, This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. It says that this is good, Paul says, and pleases God our Savior, that His desire, the desire of our Heavenly Father, the heart of our Savior Jesus Christ, is that all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Excuse me. So the Lord is gracious. How is He gracious? He's not always accusing us. He's not always angry with us. He's not treating us as our sins deserve. And he's not repaying us according to our sin. Excuse me. Now, this takes us to the second question. Why is God gracious to all of humanity? Why is this God gracious, as David puts it? As God's desire, everyone is to be saved. But there's more to that for David. So in Psalm 103, 14 to 16, he says, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place, remember, it's no more." Church, the God we worship is good, and he is worthy of all our honor, all our praise, all our adoration, not just, as David conveys, not just for his own personal benefit that God has given him, but for God, what God is doing for all of humanity. God is fair to all humanity. God has revealed himself to all humanity. God is gracious. And why is he gracious? There are two things that David says. Is gracious to all humanity because he alone knows more than anybody else what man is made of. And he alone knows how brief man's life on this earth is. Are you with me? What man? He alone knows. The psalmist says, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." He knows how we are formed because he, the God of the universe, he created us. He created you and me. He created you and me in his own image and likeness. He knows we are delicate and fragile because we were formed from the dust. And dust is what we will return to, whether by aging or by illness, even could be COVID-19. He knows that we are fragile. He knows we are delicate. He knows what man is made of because he created us. And secondly, that takes us to the second reason Psalmist says why God is gracious to all mankind. Because he knows how brief man's life on this earth is. The life of mortals is like grass, he says. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. With a heavy heart, I stand here because this reality hit home for me this weekend. Because a brother and a friend of mine from our youth group back in India went to be with the Lord on Friday, leaving behind a young family. He was in his early 40s. And then here near home in East London, a pastor friend of mine is fighting for his life. Because of COVID-19, both his kidneys have failed. So if you can remember these two, please pray for them. You know, we need to pray like Moses, that God will teach us to number our days so that we may gain wisdom. Wisdom for what? Wisdom to know this God who bestows his grace, his mercy, and his love to all of humanity. And he's calling all of humanity in the midst of this worldwide plague to come to him and call on him, for he is good. He is good. The God we worship, the God we serve, the God we adore, and he's good. And and David puts it this way in 103 verse 11, 12 and 13. It says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." And I like this next verse. It says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." You know, God is calling you out of his great love for you. He's calling you out of his great desire to forgive you, and if you turn to him. He's calling humanity, and he's calling you and I out of his great compassion for us to make us part of his family through Jesus Christ, so that you too can call him Father. I don't know, those of you hearing me this morning, let me submit to you again that our God is good. The God that the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 103, the God that psalmist is telling, his speaking to his soul to worship, to adore, and to honor and bow down, he is good even in these difficult and unprecedented times. Even in the scary days that is ahead of us, we can trust him because he is fair. He is good because he is fair to all humanity, not just his own children. He is good, but not just because for his, that he's revealed himself to his children, but he's revealed himself to all of humanity through in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you are listening to me, if you are hearing me, may I submit to you this Jesus who alone can save you, who alone can set you free, who alone can forgive all our sins, and who alone can heal us from all our sicknesses and diseases. He is worthy, and our God is good and worthy of our worship because he shows grace. He's gracious to all of humanity. And so this morning, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances may be, and wherever you're hearing me from, can I encourage you? And if you haven't received this Jesus Christ into your life, will you open your heart to him and say, "Jesus, come into my life"? I tell you, the answer for the problem of humanity is found at the foot of the cross and nowhere else. He is good. He is good. And he has only good for you. And so will you come to him and say, "Lord, I need you"? Will you come to him and say, "God, I need you. I need you"? And so as we finish this morning, I just want to finish with this song, the title, "Goodness of God." And if you're watching, you can, the lyrics are going to come on the screen and join us. And after that, we'll just pray together and bring this service to a close. But please, if you are listening to me, speak to your soul this morning. Whatever you may be going through, speak to yourself that the God I worship, the God that David is talking about, is good. He is good.